from New York City, Comedy Central presents Ardal O'Hanlon.
You! My God! Wow! Look at you! And look at the size of this place! This stage is far too big for my purposes! I won't be going over there at all! So I'm from Ireland. You're all Irish, hooray! And I'm typically Irish, really, in the sense that I don't live there anymore. You know, wherever you go in the world, you're always going to run into a big crowd of Irish people. All over New York, the United States, all over Europe. I guarantee it, you go deep into the heart of the Amazon jungle, you will stumble upon a tribe of previously undiscovered Irish people. With sticks and tin whistles and big hairy ears. Whose only words are, go on, you'll have a drink. You'll have one. Come on, you'll have a drink. Come on. Now, the big difference between Irish people and American people is that we don't like to complain. Now, you're very good at it in restaurants. You know, if you don't like the food, you send it back. If you don't like the curtains, you burn them. In Ireland, we accept what we're given. And likewise, if you've got hair and you go into a barber's and you get your hair cut and the barber makes a complete mess of it and says, how is that for you? You always go, that's grand. Thanks very much. I feel like a king. Thank you. You're a genius with those scissors. And likewise, I was on the plane on the way to New York. And the stewardess came over to me and she said, where are you from? And I said I was Irish, because it was true, and I didn't want to mess her around. You know? Not at that altitude. And she said to me, oh, you're Irish, are you? Well, you'll be needing this, so. And she left the drinks trolley down beside me. Now, tell me this. How are you feeling? How are you? How are the people? Because you know what? We're not well in Ireland. People aren't well. People are sick. You know, they're sicker than they've ever been before. We're more sick more often. Is it the same here? You know, everyone you meet, how are you? Oh, I've got an awful bug. I've had it for about 4 years now. Can't seem to shrug it off. You know, in the old days, people just got on with it. Even the terminally ill. How are you? I'm fine. What about the horrendous pain? Oh, it helps pass the time. And of course, men get much sicker than women. You know this? The same symptoms, men suffer more. And there's a reason for this, why men experience pain more acutely than women, and that's because there's always a part of a woman's brain thinking about shoes. You know this. You see, women are capable of having more than one thought at any one time. You know, men can't. What's your name? I don't know, I have a runny nose. Women can be thinking about their runny nose, and they can be thinking about their work and what they're having for dinner tomorrow, and they can be recalling every word of a conversation they've just had with a friend to find out if there's any offence caused or received, you know? And they can be plotting their revenge, any amount of things. Now, I've no respect for doctors anymore. I've lost all my respect for the medical profession. They don't know anything. You go in there and they say, well, what do you think is wrong with you? I don't know. It's not my job to think. It's your job to think. I think you might have a bug. Oh, really? Thanks a million. What bug? And the most you can expect is a prescription for some antibiotics. Now, where I come from, when you get a prescription for antibiotics, you don't say, well, will they work? Or will there be any side effects? No, it's, will I be able to drink with these? I know, I can see from here that you all look very fit and healthy altogether. You look great, actually. I'm sitting here, standing here, admiring your magnificent torsos there. Congratulations. And your big legs like tree trunks. Huh? Big mossy legs, squirrels running up and down them. Huh? Lovely. I don't have a torso at all. There's such a great emphasis here in the United States on looking good and feeling good. You know, usually at enormous expense to your personality, I find. We're all on the same wavelength. And this friend of mine, and not really a friend, but a person I know, in fact I hate him, this person I hate, he suggested to me that I go on a fun run to raise money for charity. Now I just laughed in his face. Because you know, those two words, fun and run, they should never be seen together in the same sentence, you know? It's like somebody with a big lump on the side of their head saying, hey, look at my humor, tumor, you know? You know, running is never fun. Running is something you do when there's a man chasing you with a knife. Yeah. Yes. And you see lots of people going around now with little bottles of water. They're drinking 3 and 4 liters of water a day. You see them there, eh? I've got my bottle of water. Mm. I'm going to live forever. Somebody should tell them we're not plants, you know? We're highly complex beings. We can drink coffee and alcohol. We could drink gasoline if we wanted to. If it wasn't so expensive. Yeah. 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 The condoms, they're useless, aren't they? Hmm? Yeah. They're useless and they're ineffective and they burst. And your stomach just can't cope with the sudden impact of 2 kilos of cocaine. You know? Right. Hmm. Yeah. It's a very delicate organ, the stomach. Now, some of you know this, the best way to smuggle drugs into a country, if that's what you choose to do, and I'm not recommending it, the best thing to do is to place them carefully in a dog's bottom, like so. Yeah. Just shove them up a dog's arse. Because at the airport, if the sniffer dogs suspect anything, the officials will think they're just being frisky, so it's foolproof. Unless, of course, your dog wears sunglasses and sweats a lot. That would give it all away. So, I suppose sheep get a lot heavier when they're wet, don't they? After a big downpour, they can hardly walk with the extra weight, can they? Especially if they're carrying passengers and luggage. You still with me? Cows, they're not absorbent at all, unlike sheep. I mean, the water just runs off a cow's back like it would off a little duck's back. And a duck would run off a cow's back too, like water would off a duck's back. But a duck wouldn't run off a sheep's back, you know? It would try very hard, but wouldn't get very far. It would just be absorbed into the wool. And you'd have a sheep full of dead ducks. And that's no good to anyone, really, is it? You know, the shepherd would think, that's a unique pelt, I'll get a good price for that. So anybody expecting some hard-hitting political satire from me this evening might be slightly disappointed at this stage. Unless, of course, you're farmyard animals. And then you'd be thinking, oh, there's a fella touching on the issues that affect us. That whole absorbency debate is raging in the fields at the moment. Anyway. Now, I don't know an awful lot about New York. I've been here a couple of times. I love New York. It's a magnificent city. The thing I love most about it is its diversity. You know, I never knew there were so many different ways of saying F*** you. It's fantastic. But one thing I wouldn't do here is I wouldn't try and drive in Manhattan. You drive like crazy here. You know, I don't approve of drink driving, but I'd need to have a few drinks to pluck up the courage to drive, you know? Yeah. It's mad on the road. Now, the most dangerous people on the road are the ambulance drivers. They're reckless. Now, I've no respect at all for that particular emergency vehicle. And the thing I dislike most about the ambulance is the way they have the word ambulance spelt backwards, emblazoned across the front of the vehicle. Now, the thinking being that you're driving along in traffic and you look in your rearview mirror and you see, oh, there's an ambulance behind me, so I better pull over. Now, that's assuming that you haven't heard the incredibly loud siren in the first place. You know, they think we're idiots, don't they? So whenever I see an ambulance coming towards me, down the wrong side of the street, as they often do, I think to myself, well, I hear the siren all right, but how can I be sure? You know? Huh? How can I be sure? You know? God, I'm exhausted already. I have no energy at all. I used up all my energy in my youth running around the house pretending to be a horse, you know? I mean, the only exercise I get now would be a vomit on a Friday night, so. Keeps me in trim. And I had an operation a couple of months ago. You know, nothing too serious, just having my pajamas surgically removed. But this operation, it did involve me having my genital area shaved. And I was a bit nervous about this at first, but to be honest, I've been doing it ever since. It's just all the guys in the ward said I look much younger without it, you know? Apparently it takes years off me. But once you start shaving an area, you just can't stop. It grows wildly out of control. I'm standing up here at the moment, it feels like I've got Don King's head in my underpants. You know? Well, that's not a very pleasant thought, you know. Especially if you're Don King. I'm permanently exhausted. I saw a sign on the side of the road the other day. It said, tiredness can kill. I never knew that. You know, last Saturday I stayed up all night watching movies. I could have died. Nobody tells you these things. I love sleeping. I think sleeplessness is the root cause of all the problems in society today. People don't get enough sleep. You know? They work too hard and they're stressed out. And they make mistakes and commit crimes and grow long beards and run amok in the workplace with automatic weapons. You know? I think there should be a Spanish-style siesta in this country. Yes. Yes. We should. From about 11:30 in the morning until Thursday. That'll be about right. A friend of mine was telling me to relax, and he said the best way to relax is to go on holidays. And you know this, far from being relaxing, going on holidays is the most stressful thing you can do in your life. You know, you're in a blind panic before you even leave the house in the first place, thinking of all the things you have to do. Oh my God, I'm going to have to cancel the milk, and I'm going to have to put down the dog, and you know, and leaving a light on doesn't fool the burglars for a second. They know all about that. I'm going to have to leave a hairdryer on for 2 weeks. So they'll think there's somebody inside with a massive head of hair. They'll think Don King's looking after the house. Anyway, some of you may know that Ireland has the reputation for being a great literary nation. You know, you walk into any bar in Dublin, apparently it's full of writers and poets. Most other countries, they're called drunks. Not in Ireland. And like most Irish people, I've written a novel as well. It's not my first. I've been writing for years under the pseudonym Maeve Binchy. Going quite well. And this person asked me if I was ever stuck on a desert island. I was on a radio talk show and the presenter asked me, if I was ever stuck on a desert island, what two books would I bring with me? And I didn't like the threat implied in that question. And I said to her, the first book I'd bring with me would be a big plastic inflatable book. And the second one would be how to make oars out of sand. Now leave me alone. I shut her up. I don't like lending my books to people. You know, partly because, you know, they're part of your identity, your books. And also, I don't want people to know what I already know. You know, I've invested a lot of time and effort in acquiring that knowledge. I don't want to throw away my slender advantage. You know? Of course I lend them books. Yes. I said, here's Angela's ashes, take that. There you go. Now, the other reason I don't like lending books to people is that People have this disgusting habit of licking their thumbs before turning a page. I've got a vegetarian friend who does this, and he borrows my books all the time. And what I do is I smear the corners of the pages with bits of greasy bacon. And I stick a sausage in the middle as a bookmark. Now, I don't know everything, but I do know this. There are two types of people in the world, two types of people in this room tonight. There are those who have lots of casual sex with strangers. And there's jealous people. Yeah. And there they are over there. This could be your lucky night. Anyway. According to a magazine I get called Gross Generalization, very important publication, a person has sex 2,580 times in his or her life. It's an awful lot of sex. It means I have a lot of catching up to do. I used to get this Irish Catholic magazine called Under No Circumstances. And that painted a very different picture. But I was trying to work out an average. How many times a year is that? Assuming you start having sex when you're 33 and you keep going until you're married for a while. Some of you know that marriage is when two people are joined together to become one desperately boring person. Yeah. And now, in Ireland, it took us quite a while to catch up. I mean, we're very sexually liberated now, of course, as a nation. But it wasn't always the case, you see, because we didn't have the 60s in Ireland. We went straight from the 50s to 1972. So we didn't experience notions of flower power or free love or Woodstock. We didn't have any of that. You know, we wouldn't have known what to do with free love. You know, you'd be saying, what do you want? What are you after? My land? Huh? Go away. If it was free drink, that would be a different story. And then after a few free drinks, you'd be wondering, is the free love still going? You know? But luckily, I have no interest in sex at all. You know, it's so undignified, really, isn't it? Attaching yourself to another human being like that. Oh, I'm making all those faces. Mm. And those noises. Surely there must be a more dignified way to express your love and admiration for another human being. You know, like baking them a nice cake or something. Or just leaving them alone for a while. That would do. And some people don't seem to realise that sex is a very important part of a relationship. You know, let's just pick a gender at random here. Some women don't seem to know about this, you know? It's never the right time, you know, they've always got a headache or they're too tired, you know? Or they have more important things to do, like putting things in little boxes. You know? Well, two can play at that game, can't they? Let's start the gender war. You know, the shoe will be on the other foot then. We'll see who's got the headache, who's too tired, you know, who's got to put the little things in the boxes. Was recently telling me that, you know, I should tell my dad that I love him before he dies. And I thought about this, but what if I got the timing wrong? You know? And he lived for another 20 years. I don't think either of us could cope with the embarrassment. I'd have to kill him. Yeah. Anyway. Oh, that's about all I know, really. You've been great. You know, I didn't expect you to come here at all, you know. I expected completely different people. But you've been marvellous. You know, I couldn't wish for a better audience. You know, if I put money in a wishing well, you know, I don't wish for love or riches or anything. I just wish that nobody else's wishes come true. And that always works. Sorry about that. It's all my fault. So I wish I had a big finish for you people, and I wish I had a bigger start, and I wish there was more bigness in the middle, but like I said, it's not Riverdance, you know. And where I come from, we don't expect very much. I mean, there's a saying in my hometown, if you expect a kick in the balls and you get a slap in the face, then it's a victory. So thank you very much for listening.
these guys are underage and over the top. Stay tuned for The Boys of South Park, coming up next, only on Comedy Central.